This morning's responsive reading comes from Psalm 58, and so if you would like to join with us in Psalm 58, you will find this particular psalm a little disturbing, because in our delicate culture, especially those within the church who emphasize love and tolerance to the maximum, anything that comes down the street, you're to tolerate. Even respect to some degree, you will find Psalm 58 quite chilling and very uncomfortable to the modern ear. Now, let's get something right out of the gate. When we read Psalm 58, we shall see a man crying out to his God, and here's my title, for the folly of the hypocrites who surround him. The folly of the hypocrites. Unfortunately, the first verse identifies the location of the hypocrites. It reads, "Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men?" David here is not only identifying the sin of hypocrisy, people who indeed speak righteousness, but as we will read in the rest of the psalm, as he describes them even further, they are far from the truth. Matter of fact, they are David's enemies to the core. But in this particular psalm, David is simply turning over his adversaries, the hypocrites, within the congregation that he stands or sits with. He is surrounded by people who wear two masks, the mask of a self-deluded righteousness and the mask of envy, jealousy, hate, and murder. They flip-flop between both of these masks. I find that telling in that first verse. He just comes out of the gate. Do you indeed speak righteousness? You're going to expect someone who's a hypocrite to actually speak righteousness? Now the New Testament tells us they have a form of righteousness. They have a form of godliness. They have a form. They have the veneer, but they deny the power thereof internally. Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Verse 2. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. And then notice those who don't believe in original sin. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb, from birth. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. So much for babies being born, as some teach, in a neutral bent, or even a very godly bent, until they reach something called the age of accountability. Well, according to verses 3, they're already accountable, starting in birth. They haven't even learned to crawl, but they know how to lie. Verse 4, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not be hearkened to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Here the picture is, you have the snake charmer, and as he's playing on his instrument in order to soothe the snake, okay, and pacify it, but they're not willing to listen. They don't want to listen. And so we are like these snakes who can hear but really don't hear the charming of the charmer and therefore respond wisely. Now here comes the part where a sensitive Christian today, those whose skins are as thick as a sheet of paper, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. So notice David not only describes his adversaries who sit and stand with him as hypocrites and as snakes who are not willing to be charmed by the charmer. He describes them as young lions, full of energy, full of fierceness, full of ferociousness. And he asks God to literally break their teeth. Now, again, to the modern Christian who is sensitive, delicate, like a snowflake, like limp spaghetti noodles overcooked, they would have a hard time with this. But again, are they willing to listen? Are they willing to be charmed by me, the charmer? Notice, David is not taking action into his own hands. He's not walking up to these individuals out there in public and simply sucker punches them in the mouth to break their teeth. He's not going out doing that. Notice, he casts his enemies into God's hands. And if you have enemies, you have young lions nipping at your heels. Painful, yes. Hurtful, yes. Betrayal, yes. You do not take matters into your hands. Simply turn them over to God, who can do a much better job than you and I. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. Notice the graphic language of David's desires upon his enemies, but he's not taking this action to himself. He's trusting God, who is the judge of all the earth, and according to Abraham, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? When he bended his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail that melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Beloved, this is a man who's hurt. This is a man who's on the receiving end of people who talk righteously on one side of their mouth, but on the other side of their mouth, if you look back at verse 4, their poison is the poison of a serpent, and they are like the deaf adder that stoppeth the ear. Notice, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. That which is inside the mouth of the serpent is noxious, is toxic. And he wants the Lord simply to dry them up like a snail. If you leave a snail out in the hot sun, you're going to come back and you're going to find maybe just a shell. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as a whirlwind, both living and in his raft. Now notice verse 10. Once again, that thin-skinned Christian who lives in the 21st century, who's been raised on artificial oatmeal, is going to have a hard time here. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. Now, if you have a problem with that, you must have a problem also in the book of Revelation, when there, if you believe Revelation for what it says, and when God did unleash his judgment on the people, the saints in heaven who were observing God executing judgment, sang praises of thanksgiving, because they had been exonerated because of God's justice upon their former enemies. That's found in the book of Revelation. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. Well, whose vengeance? Not their own, but that which comes from God. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. See, there is vindication. In AD 70, when God allowed the Roman soldiers to destroy that second temple and to destroy the city of Jerusalem where Jesus was slain and to destroy the enemies of Jesus who cried out for his blood, that was their reward. That was their vindication, as we see in the book of Revelation. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. So if you have a problem with God executing judgment upon your enemies, then you really don't know who the God of Scripture is. You may know certain things about him, but you don't know him. And so here we have the folly of the hypocrites. Eventually, they will meet their doom. God will take good care of them on your behalf. You do not need to take vengeance into your own hands. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.